Deluna Coffee, come explore our world of coffee. Founded by the first family of Florida State Coffee and based in Pensacola, Florida, Deluna Coffee is the driving passion of the Lemix family. Ed, his wife Courtney, and their son Brett. Their tailgating spot out front, the Unconquered Statue, is their own slice of paradise. But the real delight is Deluna's blend of Kona, Maui, Kenya, Colombian, and Brazilian beans that they call their liquid gold brew. In fact, they called it paradise. Try it or one of their two dozen blends and get a discount when you use the promo code WARCHANT15. Visit DelunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WARCHANT.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up War Chant, fueled by Deluna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WARCHANT.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Chant, fueled by Deluna Coffee, DelunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee, promo code WARCHANT15. For those good folks, thumbs up if you're listening to us on YouTube. Shout out to everybody on YouTube, everybody on the internet, iOS devices, Apple, etc., etc. Five-star rating and review, WARCHANT.com, your ultimate Semmel sports source. That promo code, WARCHANT30. Friday show, Corey. Friday show in June. Look at us. Look at us.
We're doing it. We're doing some things.
So, folks, as we record this show, Florida State softball is not determined. Their fate against UCLA and their opener out in the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. So, if the women go on to win, look in the item description, the podcast description, and you'll have a timestamp of when we talk about the softball game if they were to win. And if they don't win, well, then, you know, this podcast is what it is. We got Renegade Express questions to get to as well. It's fun times, though. I like the summer, Corey. I like the bat and ball stuff keeping us afloat, namely the bat stuff. So hopefully...
I tell you what, man. I forgot. So as we record this, Oklahoma's playing James Madison in a pretty entertaining first-round College World Series game, softball. And, like, the Braves are playing at the same time, and I find myself forgetting the Braves are even on. And again, it's part of it is a testament to the Braves not being great this year. But man, baseball, it can be rough to watch, man. Like, softball moves fast. It's quick. These games are quick. There's a lot of action. And though every baseball game, college baseball, pro baseball, my kids' baseball games, it's so much dead time and taking a lot of pitches and strikeouts and walks. So, yeah. So, anyway, that being said, Oklahoma's got themselves a little dogfight here, Aslan. 3-3 with the... James Madison here in the fifth. So maybe they're not the juggernaut we thought they were.
Look at that. They are who we thought they were. Got them off the hook.
Hey, I got a trivia question for you, by the way. So Steffi and I went and played trivia on Wednesday night. Finished in fifth, but it was just the two of us. And we were, you know, there were some teams that had 10, 12 people there. So I was pretty okay with our performance, but I was really disappointed that I didn't know this question.
Okay.
What NFL team plays its home games in Levi's Stadium?
Oh, the 49ers.
Yeah, man. Why would I have thought the Cardinals?
Because Levi's is red.
The same division, I guess?
Yeah.
That was really disappointing. I put a big bid on that, too. That's how it works. You can bid. You bid, in your confidence.
All right.
And put a pretty big bid on that and lost, and that's the reason we didn't place. So I felt bad about that.
You always bragged about you'd go out with Tim Linnefelt, formerly of Seminoles.com fame, to do trivia around town. Like, you know, I can help out. I have a brain. It functions well. Maybe not all that apparent on this podcast, but it's good. I'm a good trivia guy.
We don't really have a spot yet in Tallahassee to go.
Whatever.
But when we do, buddy, you're coming. That's all there is to it. We need help. Clearly. I didn't know that one. That was a bummer too, man. We would have finished. Yeah. Anyway, no, man. People don't care about that. But yeah, so I didn't know that. I put the Cardinals and was pretty confident about it.
Yeah. WARCHANT.com's got a story from Ira Schofield talking one-on-one with outgoing Florida State University president John Thrasher. Check that out. We didn't mention on the program last week, but Florida State has found their new president of the university. It's Richard McCullough. He did stuff at Harvard. Cool. Congrats, man. Way to go.
Sure. The one thing he did that was funny was when he when his interview with the I get whoever it was the board of governors I guess, and he talked about trustees. how yeah I know we need an offensive line transfer.
Oh no!
I know we got one
that?
Spot available for. Oh yeah, yeah. It, so you could tell clearly that he had read War Chant the night before. But it's a good idea, right? Like the one thing against somebody from Harvard, and before that he was at Carnegie Mellon, is he's probably not that keen or aware or cares too much about college football.
And I'm okay with it. Why are we not with it?
But it's still something where you don't want to come in as and look like a complete novice, because even if academics are your, you know, clearly your priority, you would like the president of Florida State to have at least a little bit of knowledge, working knowledge of the football program and the athletics program overall, because that is part of the university. So for him to even pretend like, yeah, man, I know we need some help on the offensive line. I know we got, I don't think he said Kane Madden by name, although he should have. That would have been a smart thing to do. Probably not too much of a, it probably wouldn't have broken too many rules there. But he showed that, you know, he did make sure to mention that they had they were looking for one more offensive line transfer. And I thought, man, at Florida State or a place like Florida State with the president in a presidential search in an interview, talk about an offensive line opening.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if that was at Alabama, I would totally roll my eyes. But since he's our guy, I guess we have to find it endearing and charming.
Yeah, it's just a smart, funny thing to do. Like, you know, the guy's at Harvard. He doesn't really have any ties to Florida State. He's been it's like a study session. He did a late night cram session to be like, okay, what can I know about the football team to make it look like I know about college football?
All right. Well, before we get to the questions, developing news from really Wednesday night into Thursday, the decommitment of Arizona quarterback Nico Marchio, our guy who, you know, traveled to Florida State on a rainy day on a Sunday and live streamed on Instagram his commitment to this university, has withdrawn it, apparently. I don't think there's been any interview with him, but he has scrubbed his Instagram of all Florida State mentions. It's not an amicable breakup, I don't think. The photos, I think in his bio it said FSU commit at one point, no longer says that, and it's him in an Arizona State uniform. So he apparently did not come to Midnight Madness, and that was kind of the last straw, maybe, or maybe him tipping his hand at his intentions. A.J. Duffy, though, is a consensus quarterback that's ranked higher than him. So if you're one of those guys where when you lose a commitment, we didn't need that guy anyways, there you go. A.J. Duffy is ranked higher. And I do think if you look at the film, again, and I'm not Gil Brandt. I haven't been breaking down Phil. I'm not, you know, what's the guy's name? Phil Savage, who used to do the Senior Bowl and all those kind of guys.
You're not Trent Dilfer over here.
Right, yeah. But A.J. Duffy does appear to be the more physically talented, gifted thrower out of the two. Still, though, a bit odd because, you know, and there's a video with Michael Langston breaking it down, so we won't go too far into it. But it seems like he was certainly aware that there was going to be two quarterbacks. And maybe he was cool with that. Maybe he was cool with being Jameis to somebody else being Smag. But apparently this A.J. Duffy kid might be a little bit better than him, apparently. So, you know, so I don't begrudge the kid. You know, like if you're I was trying to think of something Florida State-centric or, you know, apples to apples that we could do. But, like, if you're Jacoby Brissett, you're a good quarterback. Like, would you want to come to Florida State and sit behind Jameis Winston? And does that make you a coward? Like, oh, he's just scared of competition. Well, maybe just, you know, wants to be able to go to a place that he's got a good sort of path to the starting quarterback job, less obstacles. Now, granted, you're not going to win as much. You're not going to have as many, you know, cool bowl gifts. But you get tape, you get film, and then you get to go to an NFL team and hold a clipboard and make millions of dollars. So I don't begrudge the kid. I know a lot of people get upset when guys pull out of their commitments, but I'll trust the staff. Although they went heavy after him, it seemed like they were, you know, pursuing him much more aggressively and earlier than A.J. Duffy. But Michael pointed out to me that actually A.J. Duffy visited during the spring on his own dime this past spring. So, you know, he's been interested in Florida State all along. They'll figure it out, man. Quarterback, they're going to be all right there, I think.
Well, and you'd rather him do this now than pull a Sam Howell and do it, you know, right up on signing day. So yeah, man. And they do have one already in the shopping cart, I guess. So it's not the end of the world that he decommitted. You wonder why though. Cause like, as we talked about when Duffy happened, like, you know, they weren't telling Nico, you're our only guy. Like, he was following Florida State recruiting. He knew they were going after another guy, but who knows what happened. who could know? I do know that he was planning other visits, and maybe that was something that bothered them. I don't know, but you still got AJ Duffy.
I can't believe bothers who? I mean, if you're, I want to get. That's like one of the things I would ask if I was ever to have beers with the coaching staff. Just be like, what sort of lines, parameters, boundaries?
Well, look,
you
if
set
you say because you're recruiting at a place like Florida State, you probably got five kids in mind, right? That you want to recruit a quarterback, four, something like that. Well, if you tell a kid, look, we will take your commitment right now. We will take it. You can commit to us. You're a null. You say you're a null. Heck, you're flying here just to do some silly commitment announcement. So we think you're committed to us. Okay, we're going to stop recruiting these other kids, except for, obviously, AJ. So then if the kid says, he tells you how committed he is and he wants to be on the team and he's 100% a null, and then he's still going to West Virginia or Arizona State or all these other trips, you're like, it doesn't sound like you're that committed, man. So in quarterback's such a unique position, right? Like you can have six corners on a team. You can have five offensive linemen that commit and two running backs and four receivers. That happens all the time. But quarterback is such a unique position. You really, when a quarterback commits, he needs to be sure. And usually they are, right? Other than Trader Sam Howell, usually they are. When they commit, they stay committed. So that maybe that's what was the problem with them. I don't know. I don't think they're. I don't get the impression they're that bummed about it. But yeah, who really knows? I know they want to keep that Arizona pipeline open.
That they do. All right, let's get back to the ponies then. Let's do a little Renegade Express, y'all.
I'm just glad I don't have to try to pronounce his last name.
Marchio. Come on, man. I just said it.
Marchio, but there's an L at the end.
I mean.
And it kind of looks like Marischal.
It does. Marshall, yeah.
I want to call him that, and I was going to screw that up 1,000 times. My son always makes fun of me for screwing up. The Clippers forward, his name is Batum, I think.
Yeah, Nick Batum. Batum.
And I kept calling him Batum.
Batum.
And Brady's like, you tell me you are not calling that man Batum. Yeah. And I'm like, Brady, shut up. Go to bed.
How about T-Man? T-Man with a huge steal, then in transition, a beautiful feed. Although I don't know, were they criticizing
him? He had a layup. Luka wasn't going to – I think what happened there, I know this isn't the T-Man feed or the Clippers, wake up Clippers, but it was they were down by one. Man gets a great steal on Luka under the basket and then – kicks it ahead to George, and then streaks down the court on the left side of the lane. But, man, earlier in that quarter had gone 0-for-2 from the free throw line. So I think that was sort of in his head. He gets a nice pass from Paul George, and it looks to me like Luka's going to give him the layup. Like he's leaping to get a layup, sort of contested but not really contested layup. And instead of shooting it, he passes it back to my man, Batum. And Brady doesn't listen to the show. And he misses like a one-foot floater. Like, he still should have made it. Like,
yeah,
that, he's right at the rim, and he's 6'9". But it also looked like Mann had a layup if he had just taken it. But it's a great play. It's a really great play on his part. I would have liked to seen him go ahead and try to lay that up off the glass. But also, like, you know, Terrence Mann is going to be a player in this league for a decade. He's carving out his niche here. But it's his first playoff experience ever. He's only in the league for 2 years. And Paul George just says, okay, the game, probably the season is on the line. Let me kick it ahead to the kid that doesn't play much while I make $29 million a year. Like, it was just an odd pass to make. Like, Kawhi doesn't touch the ball on the final possession. The two people that touch the ball on the final possession are Terrence Mann and Batum. So, anyway. But, yeah, Mann's good, man. He's making himself some money. He's going to be in the league for a long time doing what he does.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get him out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, Drill Sergeant Porter says, "Wake up! First, I wanted to thank you for the kind words for the Memorial Day holiday. These are enjoyable holidays, but often a time to reflect and appreciate the guys I was in combat with who made the ultimate sacrifice. Anyway, two things."
Hey, can I say something real quick about that?
Sure.
So on Friday, Saturday night, we were, Saturday night, I was out at an establishment, you know, having some drinks, some cocktails with some friends. And the table next to us, like, it was literally like every 30 seconds or 20 seconds, it was like some dude banging a knife on a drink, like loudly. And I'm like, golly, man, what? I mean, he's a bigger dude, so I'm not going to say anything, clearly. But it's like, man, what are you doing? That's pretty annoying. Like, he's like banging it where people would like their shoulders would raise up. Like, wow, that's loud. And then I realized, and then the people at the table, there were six of them, would raise their drinks, take a sip, and then just sit there, talk a little bit, but they nothing much. And then I realized later, and I asked the waitress what was going on. He was an Marine. He was a Marine, and it was Memorial Day Eve or something close to it. So I think we got the impression that he was banging the glass for all his buddies that he had lost. Mm. And that was really kind of like, oh, that kind of puts everything into perspective. I don't really care about the Braves right now. You know what I mean? Anyway, right. Go ahead. Because it was a lot of bangs. It was like 9 or 10 of them. And it's like, golly, man, think about what those – anyway.
Anyway,
go ahead.
Things.
Here we go.
That was a good segue because Drill Sergeant Porter said, anyway, two things. First, possible nickname for Florida State, Florida, in-state hate.
Mm.
Okay.
That's a good one. I like that. It throws on the it rhymes, number one, which is nice. It there's good old-fashioned hate with Georgia Tech, but I don't think Georgia fans don't hate Georgia Tech like Florida State fans hate Florida and vice versa. Just it doesn't happen. So, yeah, I like that. You can put hate in there.
Okay. Secondly, have you ever seen a coach recover from rough or bad press the way Mike Norvell has, considering what happened about this time last year compared to all the buzz and momentum the program seems to have over the last few months? Anyway, love the show, and as always, go Noles. Thank you, Drill Sergeant Porter. I mean, I wouldn't worry so much about this time last year.
So he's talking about Marvin.
Oh, I gotcha. Did he take a hit on that, though? I don't really think there was a lot
To be honest with you, from the fans I talked to, and I know plenty of them, Marvin took a bigger hit than Norvell did.
Yeah.
Now, there were some national media folks that I'm sure dinged Norvell. But also, it was handled so quickly. Within a couple of days, they had a foundation set up. Marvin was talking. They all seemed to be singing Kumbaya. So it was handled so quickly that, and then, you talk about, the wide receivers doing what they did in the preseason camp. None of them are on the team anymore. And 52-10, well, your coach has COVID, all that. And now it's like it's been flushed with good reason. That was year zero. We're in year one now, folks. We're in year one now. Let's see what this guy's all about. He can finally recruit with his Batmobile. Oh, by the way, so that thing is called a slingshot.
Yeah.
That's the right name of that car. You want to get one? Should we get a War Chant slingshot?
Why not?
You could drive to games in it?
That might help us pull some kids for NIL stuff, But, hey, you can pose with this for your social if you just,
pose with it. They can drive it around.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for the good one. Travis Hunter, we'll let him. He gets it Tuesdays and Thursdays. It'll be like custody. Every other weekend, Travis Hunter gets to drive our slingshot around.
It's amazing. Heck yeah, that'd be perfect. NYC_Noel_2. Wake up! When are you guys going to make a NYC trip? Things are back open again, and Aslan can eat pizza to his heart's content. I'd love to. Let's do that. When's the last time you've been here to the city, Corey?
I'm going to say 04, 05. Ooh. The last time I was there, it had to have been the last time I was there, with Shanna. Summer trip. I don't think we were married. I don't think we were married yet. Maybe we were engaged, but she got on a Letterman show.
Ah.
Remember, she did Know Your Cuts of Meat. He pulled her up from the studio, from the audience, and talked to her for like 5 minutes.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Gina Davis was the guest, That's what I remember. Robert Plant was the musical act. And yeah, he would do Know Your Current Events. Like, he'd come out in the studio and just riff and goof around with people. And Shanna was the first one he brought up. And there was the whole thing where we talked to a producer in a line before the show even started. I think they liked probably how young and pretty she was. And she had a brain on her. So that helped. And so they're like, okay, she can think quick. She'll work well. And we had a pretty good idea where they sat us, that Shanna might get on TV because she was on the aisle. And sure enough, okay, is there a Shanna Parr here? And she rose up, and he would ask her questions about meat and then point to the answer. He asked her where she was from and all that good stuff. We ended up getting a box of meat, a box of steaks from like a really famous steakhouse, apparently. A box of steaks and a free Italian dinner at a really nice Italian restaurant. And a CD, a Dave Letterman CD.
Look at that.
It's pretty sweet, man. It's pretty sweet.
And Dave Matthews. You say David Letterman CD or Dave Matthews CD?
No, it was a David Letterman CD of like all his like okay. musical guests, right. his favorite musical guests on the show.
Right. I was trying to segue it back to your current beau, Stephanie. Oh, and a Dave Matthews CD, your current girlfriend's favorite musical act. It all comes full circle.
Hey, I will say this real quick, since I just complimented Shanna on the way she looks or looked. Well, no, I don't mean like that. I was just saying look because it happened years ago. But yes, the way she looks, fine. Very, very attractive person as well. But Stephanie, the trivia guy that I go to all the time up in Atlanta when we play trivia up here, he saw me with Stephanie. It was just me and Stephanie last night. He goes, "Is that your wife?" And I go, "No, it's my girlfriend." And he goes, "Man, congratulations.
There you go.
That's nice, right?" I told Stephanie that, and she was very excited about that.
Heck yeah. All right. NYC_Noel_2. I haven't been to the city since, I think, 2015, 2016. I miss it, though. I do want to go up there. I think maybe if we do actually get some time before the season starts, maybe I'll go up there. I don't want to go to Chicago or New York City. I feel like both those towns are just going to be absolute debauchery just because of all the lockdown stuff. And now it's summer, it's warm, and we're vaccinated. Let's go. All right, NYC_Noel_2 is feeling pretty optimistic about the creative recruiting approach the staff is taking. Here's to hoping it results in W's on the field before too long. Amen. Question for you gentlemen. If there had been a four-team playoff starting back in the early 1980s, how many national championships do you think FSU would have won, and which teams would you have been most confident seeing in a playoff? Thanks again, and as always, drink your DeLuna coffee. Zach with an H from New York City. Thanks, Zach.
I think 87, 89, and 92, and probably 92, because that was the year where they had a really good defense, but Charlie was throwing all the interceptions. And then in the last month, they're like, you know what? We're changing our offense. And when they changed their offense, they became unstoppable. And I think they would have won the national championship that year. I think that probably is the one I'm most confident about, because it was the 92 defense. Like, the 92 defense was better than the 93 defense. You had Marvin on it. Plus you had Charlie operating at full capacity there in the final month of the season. So that's the one. Instead, it was Miami and Alabama, which did give us an all-time great moment with George Teague ripping the ball away from Lamar Thomas on what should have been an 80-yard touchdown.
I can't find any kind of quick reference to see like what the poll was the last week of the season before bowl season started in.
I've done columns on that before. I think it was with War Chant, just talking about, because, you know, Saban is in the playoff every year. And I'm like, look, man, for 14 years in a row, Florida State would have at least 11 of those years, maybe not 91 because they had lost their last two games. They're probably not in it then. But I think like 10 or 11 of those years, they're in the playoff. I mean, they played for like 5 national championships. So, yeah, there were other years where they were on the outside looking in, 87, 88, 92. Those years keep coming to mind, but I think you're probably talking about getting into 10 or 11 of the playoffs during the dynasty, and I think you win at least two more.
Yeah,
I do. Like, I think you 90? Win. I think you I win mean, 92, and I think you win 87.
I mean, obviously, you know, 90 they had two losses, but they finished the season ranked fourth. Like, the final poll was Colorado 1, Georgia Tech 2, Miami 3, Florida State 4.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So, in Colorado had one loss, a tie, and should have had another loss. They won on a fifth down. They got a fifth down at Missouri. So, I think in this day and age, that team never even sniffs the playoffs. They'd be like, no, we're going to ding them because they should have lost that game. And they always, they also have a loss and a tie. So, Florida State in 90, I think, probably even gets in because they made the switch to Casey Weldon in the middle of the season, and then we're a completely different team. The 89 team. The 89 team's a good one, too, because they lost their first two games and then won out. Won 10 in a row, including a win over Miami, who ended up winning the national championship. But that Miami team was legit, and they didn't have their starting quarterback for that game. So, I think you're talking about two, at least two more. I have a soft spot for the 87 team, and then I really think the 92 team wins pretty handily, actually.
Hey, I mean, 87, you had Syracuse would have been the four seed. But again, this is the last poll of the season. I mean, this is when all the bowl games are done. But yeah, Syracuse, like, number four in the nation that year.
It would have been Miami, Syracuse, and
Oklahoma, Florida State.
Yeah. No Oklahoma, chance. Sorry, Jamel Holloway, or whoever their quarterback team, was.
Though. Like, 91 Penn State wouldn't have scared me. They finished third. Florida State was fourth in 91. Washington was second. Miami was first. But I'm trying to I would have rematched Florida every year. I've been fine with it, except for 96, obviously.
That wasn't a fun rematch.
And I don't know I would have been really scared about Nebraska ever. You know, respect to them and what they've accomplished, but I don't think I've ever been fearful of playing them. Like, I would have liked to play Miami twice in a lot of those years. Because, he's asking what teams would you have been most confident seeing in a playoff.
Nebraska in the late 80s and early 90s, before they flipped it and started recruiting a different kind of kid, a lot of kids from California, and got their defense in order. Florida State Miami used to trash them every year. Like, they just couldn't handle the speed. The speed was too much for them on defense. Like, the stuff that worked against Colorado and Missouri and whoever else, Texas Tech, wasn't working against Florida State and Miami, and they would get crushed every year in a bowl game. So I think Nebraska would be the one you'd feel the most confident about up until, clearly, 93-94. That's when things started to flip.
All right, moving along. Let's bundle these two together. We got let's bundle these two together. We got Spartan Knoll 71. That's our guy Ralph over in Hawaii. Aloha, guys. How's it? A question for Corey. With everything that has happened over this spring regarding the signing class, transfers in and out of the program, and now this Midnight Madness event, would you say the coaching staff has made you happy most of the time? Tennis ump, wake up, guys. I'm enjoying delicious DeLuna coffee. With the upcoming mega camp later this week, have you ever heard of another camp anywhere with over 500 campers, as Michael Langston has reported, in attendance? I love the momentum and can't wait to enjoy the ride. So that is happening next week, the mega camp. Midnight Madness is now in the books. Transfers already on campus. Perhaps another one out there Florida State is vying for, Corey. Has this made you happy mostly?
I mean, it's been encouraging. I think that's the word that all Florida State fans are safe to use. This has been very encouraging. There is an interest in Florida State football from players that, if you go simply by record, and you shouldn't with Florida State because of the history and tradition and championships and everything, and they weren't that long ago, but the players that should not probably be interested in a 3-6 football team are very interested in a 3-6 football team. What he did on the transfer market, what he's doing with these recruits. I'm telling you, we talked to him, like the meet and greet we had with him and his staff right around the new year of 2020, I guess. And he was talking about the camp he had in Memphis and how all these different, and that's another thing, he invites all these other colleges to come, college coaches to come, but to make it a bigger event, make it a big event, make it feel like one. But he had an app. They had created their own app for the camp that each kid downloaded on their phone, and it would give them the times of this, the times of that, where to be, all this information. And I'm like, man, what a good idea. Just good ideas, man. All of that is encouraging. Again, I'm not even going to say it. You know what I'm about to say, the but. I'm not going to say the but this time. I am very encouraged with what this staff is doing. They recruit like their life depends on it, which, it does in a way, at least their livelihoods. But they recruit like it matters and it means something to them. And they are, dare I say, balls to the wall, balls with a Z. Really the whole time, but especially starting June 1st. Now that they got that slingshot, man, that's a game changer.
I mean, can we say they're great recruiters, or do we need to wait for these kids to sign?
No, I think no. You can't say they're great recruiters. You can say they're recruiting very, very hard. I think that's okay, obvious. That's,
yeah. I like that.
You know what I mean?
Like
you that, can't yeah. start saying somebody's a great recruiter until they start landing great players. And that's not to say he won't do that. But right now, no, you can't say this is a staff of great recruiters. You can say you like the way they recruit.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. I like that.
Right. Before. And you should. Right. I mean, they've done enough to encourage most people. I mean, this isn't, you know, this wasn't happening before. A 500-person mega camp, that's a cool thing.
Yeah. I'm just always curious about how the dynamic works with these coaching staffs and these kids. Like, I mean, there can't be on a coaching staff of 11, like, all of them can't just be these charismatic, gregarious, just absolutely cool, smooth operator. There's always going to be a couple, like, awkward, you know, socially kind of clumsy dudes. But, you know, Alabama, I'm sure, has had a few of those, but that doesn't stop them from getting it. Except there's a couple of guys on Florida State staff that I just wonder how they mesh with kids. Like, are they a little too overeager about stuff? But then, like, James Coley, I thought, like, I love Coley and all those tweets. I'm like, man, that's a little much. Like, I get it, man. You like Cuban coffee. You're down in Miami. You're recruiting for Florida State. I get it. But, like, hey, man, like, chill out. It's probably going to be a little overwhelming.
So you can't win with you. You can't win with you is what it sounds like.
Yeah, you can. I mean,
either they don't relate to the kids or they're a little over the top.
I think you can do. I mean, I don't. I think Saban relates to kids. I don't think he's over the top. I think Jimbo was cool with kids. I think they liked his demeanor, and I think Bowden had a good way with working with kids. I think Odell's got that uncle vibe that everybody seems to really appreciate. I mean, I certainly think you can walk the line, man. I just have some reservations about this. But we'll see how it works out. I mean, they're top 10 recruiting class right now. They got all these kids coming on campus. Hope they can hang on to them.
Yeah, but again, think about what you're saying. They have I know it's now. It's June. We'll see what the recruiting class ranking is when it matters. But they have a top 10 recruiting class coming off what they've come off. That's something. You know, they're doing something right. I mean, that's not normal to whatever they are in their last. What are they, 9-12 in their last 21 games or whatever it is? For them to have a top 10 recruiting class is and bring in the transfers they brought in. Is pretty darn remarkable, considering no ties to South Florida until now, no real ties to Florida at all when he came in, and now he's doing this. I'm telling you, if they can start winning games, the way he seems to recruit, the way he seems to be organized on that front, and how much it matters to him, and the time and effort they put into it, it could become a juggernaut if the team starts winning a lot of games. But
that's not even a juggernaut, man.
Let's start winning some
juggernaut. Let's chill out the juggernaut stuff, man. I don't know about that.
I know. Why would we want to get our fans excited, Aslan?
I don't know, Corey, because...
Why would we do that? But, look, it's Florida State. This guy clearly knows how to recruit. He got to land them, but he knows how to recruit. He busts his butt recruiting. So do all those guys on that staff, and it is Florida State. If they win games with that kind of effort on the recruiting trail, much like Jimbo from 10 to 15, it becomes a juggernaut. It just does. I mean, Florida State was a recruiting juggernaut for 5 years.
Last question. Primetime 92, wake up, one question today. When you were younger, what was the craziest thing you did to get a girl's attention? Man, I should have read this beforehand. I could have really brought
you
some
wrote a
tales
didn't you
the
write
table.
You recorded a song.
I recorded a song for a girl. Yeah, there we go. That takes it hands down. Horrible.
That's got to be it, right? Is there something else in the running?
Probably. I was really bad with unrequited love, like chasing girls out of my league and doing like really over the top stuff, which didn't work out. See how we come full circle on this?
I don't even think I was dating Shanna yet. We were kind of on the cusp of it. And she lived in Tallahassee. I was at UGA. I pretended that I had a job interview in Tallahassee just to go down there and see her. And was hoping that, like, she'd be like, well, I guess you're in town. You can stay here for the night. That didn't happen. So what happened was I got up at 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning for me, which is like 4 in the morning for other people, drove down to Tallahassee in a suit for an interview I didn't have. Went and met her at 3:30.
Went full. You went for the whole entire role. I like this, man.
Yeah, yeah. For an interview I didn't have, And then hung out with her until like 9 o'clock. And then she's like, all right, well, I got to go to bed. I hope you get your job. And then I drove back home.
To what
so
happens?
It didn't work out nearly like I thought it would be like, man, I'm really tired. And she's like, well, I'm going out with my friends for dinner so you can nap here. But when I get back, you've got to go, you've got to go. I've got to study and I've got a roommate and she's not on board with this. So that I guess that's the answer for me.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever told Shanna that. She listens to this show. I think I told her that, but who knows, man? Who knows? But yeah, there you go. That's number one for me. Pretending, driving 300 miles, 5 hours for a job interview I didn't have just to hang out for a few hours with this girl I had a crush on.
That's endearing. That's really not that.
I thought so, right?
If
I admitted to her that night right there? Look, I was just, when she says, look, you've got to go. I hope you get the job. And I was like, look, I didn't even have a job interview tonight. I just wanted to see you. What? Brady's not born, is he? Like, there is no Brady Clark, right? Like, it ends that night.
Right.
Right? Don't you think? Like, that would have been, if I admitted to her then what I had done, wouldn't that make it pretty creepy?
Actually, I don't know. I don't think so. I think maybe that might have expedited Brady Clark's existence in the world, perhaps.
Yeah. Brady would be 23 right now.
Brady would be in a slingshot hanging out with Mike Norvell at Midnight Madness.
Right.
All right, we're done for now. Again, the softball game, the conclusion of it is not set. So if the Noles, Lady Noles, are victorious, we'll keep tacking on to the show. Again, look at the item description at the beginning, which I said. If not, we will catch up with you folks on Monday. We got a really busy week next week, Corey, right? This mega camp is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to be out there. I mean, like, literally. I think even, aren't you even going to be here for this?
Perhaps.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
Yeah, really.
All of us who reside full-time in Tallahassee will be out there. Bring us some sunscreen. Bring us some bottled water, perhaps. I'm just kidding. We'll be fine. That's the grind of our job, having to go out and watch football practice. Boo-hoo, right?
Right.
So, looking forward to that. That'd be cool. Wonder how many coaching. I mean, golly, how many, like 60 schools are going to be there? 50 schools?
Something like that. Something crazy, yeah.
Well, being crazy. But, yeah, we'll have you covered to that one front and back. That's why we do things around here. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything else that we missed out on here. We did a pretty good job. Good job, Corey. Look at us. 4 shows in a week in June.
And go read the Q&A, the story that Ira did about Thrasher, mm-hmm. talking to Thrasher. I actually transcribed that interview because I'm a boss. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting, really well done. So go read that and his thoughts on his career as FSU president coming to an end and where he sees the sports program moving forward.
He's Corey. I'm Aslan. Thanks so much for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.